Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Today, we are going to talk about Issue 2, the proposed ballot initiative to address drug costs here in the state of Ohio. And I want to read for you what the ballot language actually will look like on your ballot. It says to enact Chapter 194 of the Ohio Revised Code, which would require the state of Ohio, including its state departments, agencies, and entities, to not pay for more for prescription drugs than the price paid by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs. Goes on to read, establish that the individual petitioners responsible for proposing the law have a direct and personal stake in defending the law. Require the state to pay petitioners reasonable attorney fees and other expenses, requiring the petitioners to pay $10,000 to the state if the law is held by a court to be unenforceable, and limit petitioners' personal liability to that amount, and require the Attorney General to defend the law if challenged in court. And the ballot initiative issue two is a yes or no or up or down vote, and it will be on your fall ballot on November 7th. This is Chris Long, and you're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. And we're talking about an important issue on your ballot. Here to talk more about it from both the proponent side and the opponent side, let's go first to the proponent of this legislation. That's former State Representative John Adams will be representing the for Issue 2 argument. And then from the position of voting no against Issue 2 will be Greg Lawson, who is with the Buckeye Institute, a conservative think tank in Columbus, Ohio. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Glad to be on. Thank you, Chris.
Well, thank you for joining us today. And, you know, everywhere I go, gentlemen, I am asked about Issue 2 and what our position is. And I've told them and directed them to this program this week, which will be aired, of course, in several stations around the state this week. So this will be very important. A lot of people are listening very intently as to what we discussed today on ballot issue two. And of course, there's a lot of money being poured into issue two. Now, on the proponent side, there are personalities such as Bernie Sanders, who is a proponent of issue two. Former Congressman Dennis Kucinich is for issue two. The former ORP chairman, Matt Borges, he's no longer the chairman. He was last year. He is actually working on the proponent side of issue two. And now comes former State Representative John Adams. In fact, I was listening at home on a recording and it said, stand by for a teleconference with State Representative John Adams. I was a little surprised by that. John, tell us why you're for issue two.
Well, thank you, Chris. If the voters were to pass this measure, the state of Ohio would be required to pay no more for prescription drugs than is paid for the same medications by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. It could also, and what I like about it is it could also negotiate for prices below those paid by the department. This would encompass all the drug purchases in which the state is the ultimate payer, whether it be purchased, whether it's purchased the drugs directly from the pharmaceutical companies or not. So you have a negotiating factor here. And currently, there is no negotiation between the silos of state agencies that buy pharmaceuticals from the company. This opens the door up to lower the price. And when you lower that price, you bring competition into it, and you're talking, you know, you can go to the VA's website. They list the pharmaceuticals, and there's over 17,500 pharmaceutical drugs that are listed. And those prices would have to be sold at the VA's formulary. And if you and if you just take one drug in particular, only because it's familiar with a lot of people out there, the EpiPen, it's $182 on the VA's website. And it's and you could be charged up to $600 by the pharmaceutical company. I got involved in this simply because the status quo is not acceptable. Drug prices can be more competitive, and they're not. And this takes it and puts it into the hands of the voters to say yes or no. And by voting yes, you're going to bring competition into the equation, and those prices are going to come down because they have to. And that will affect what's not currently affected by what the state pays for pharmaceuticals.
Now, in all fairness, with your position as you served in the Ohio legislature, you were against Medicaid expansion. You opposed Governor Kasich's initiative to expand Medicaid. Am I right in saying that?
You're absolutely correct.
And so you're taking this from the standpoint is the state is already obligated in Medicaid expansion expenditures to pay for the medications that the Medicaid program affords those who are on the program. So you're saying from your standpoint on issue two that this would actually save the taxpayer money because we would be paying lower rates for those prescriptions that we're already obligated for in the Medicaid program. Is that fair enough to say?
That would be a fair statement. And what I also would like to reiterate is that it could also negotiate for prices below those paid by the department.
Okay. Well, and this is where we get into the details. So, again, that was John Adams, former state representative. He is for issue two. Now let's give the opponent the opportunity. And this is Greg Lawson with the Buckeye Institute. Greg, your thoughts about those points that John just made.
Sure. And first of all, I never thought I'd be on the other side of an issue with John Adams. So I feel a little strange here. But I respect
I'll tell you what, I think he never thought he'd be lining up with Dennis Kucinich and Bernie Sanders, but I won't go there. We'll
but I think actually the
I don't
here's
look
the
at
issue.
The players, I look at the issue.
Yep. No, look, okay. The issue is this is an important issue, and the problem that we have is prescription drug prices are too high. And I think John's right. There is the potential for some taxpayer savings because if this issue were to pass. Now, exactly what those savings are, I think, is an open question for a variety of reasons. First of all, it gets into Medicaid gets rebates from pharmaceutical companies already, and you'd have to compare the rebates they're getting compared to what they would be negotiating under here, where they could and stuff. So there may be less savings than is advertised, and the state's tried to run some of the numbers, and they haven't been able to come up with those numbers. But even conceding the fact that there could be some of those taxpayer savings, which generally, of course, we're certainly for at the Buckeye Institute, have long been for that. And of course, we were against the Medicaid expansion when Governor Kasich went around the legislature and went around John and his colleagues to do the controlling board action back then. So anything we can do now that we're on the hook for that, and unfortunately at the moment, is an important thing. But I think that one of in a certain way, I think this issue is a little bit like taking aspirin when you have sort of a stomach ulcer. It may help a little bit. It doesn't address some of the overarching core issues that are driving our real costs up. And one of the concerns I think that there is, too, is depending on what happens here, there could be some blowback within the VA because they're going to have to disclose. They do disclose some of the pricing, but they don't always disclose certain deals that they do with certain drug manufacturers. Some of this is still considered trade secrets. And one of the challenges that we're going to have strictly from a logistical standpoint is figuring out what are those prices. And believe me, the prescription drug guys aren't going to want them to be disclosing that. And there's the ability potentially to see prices to the VA maybe rising over time if they're forced through litigation potentially or something like that to have to disclose some of those prices. But I guess, so I think that those are some very potentially problematic logistical issues. But the real thrust of issue two is trying to do the right thing, which is we have to address the prices that have gone too high. We have to address the fact that other countries are able to essentially piggyback on the R&D that we have here in the United States. We basically do so much research and development in the United States for these new pharmaceutical drugs that other countries are putting their own price controls into effect, and then they are basically ripping us off because by the time the prescription manufacturers have made their money off of the Americans, and it's fairly cheap for them to then produce the drug, and so they'll take the price control somewhere else, and they'll still make money. That's not fair, and that's a real problem. And unfortunately, I don't think this issue addresses those issues. It also, I think we have to look at how do we get holistic change to improve not only competition, which is obviously important, but also the transparency, so that people know what they're paying. We don't do a very good job of healthcare transparency on anything, prescription drugs certainly, but anything in healthcare. And I know John knows all about that because we work a lot with a really great colleague, state representative Jim Butler, who's really done yeoman's work on transparency, and it's being blocked by hospitals and healthcare providers. And we've got to get that. That's something we've got to do. We have to work at the federal level with getting the FDA to make quicker decisions. One of the things that leads to longer times and investments by the pharmaceutical guys is the length of time it takes for the FDA to approve drugs. And so if we can't expedite that, there's going to be a lot of costs in there that are above and beyond what are probably necessary. And we also have to deal with some issues, and this it gets kind of complex, but patent issues. Big pharma will sometimes play games with patents, and they do this in such a way as to block the bringing on generics into the system, and that's a problem because that means they need to make money. They have to have a profit in order to be able to reinvest in R&D. There's no question about that. We want to be real careful that we don't disincentivize research into new drugs. That said, we also can't have them having a monopoly on a drug forever and keeping generics off the market. And so for a whole bunch of ways, there's problems there that need to be addressed. And I don't think issue two addresses any of those issues, which are the more fundamental drivers of this.
That's why I want to interject here. So again, for those of you just joining us, we're talking about state ballot issue two, the pharmaceutical ballot initiative. And we have both John Adams, former state representative, who is a proponent of issue two, and we have with us Greg Lawson of the Buckeye Institute, who is taking the position of opposing issue two. The issue is actually two parts. It's requiring the state of Ohio to include in its state department agencies and entities to not pay more for prescription drugs than the price paid by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs. And then part two is about that the legal challenge will those attorney's fees will be paid for by the Ohio taxpayer. We'll get to that in a minute. But, gentlemen, as I'm looking at the opponents of this bill, so it's talking about paying for the same rates as Veterans Affairs Department pays, and, of course, that's a national program. We're talking about on a state level, so you can't really compare apples to apples here. So if you're talking about a purchasing pool, the national VA is a much larger purchasing pool than it would be for the state of Ohio. This is going to be smaller. So one of the objections I've heard, John, is that, yes, of course, it would lower costs, but we won't see we will not know what the VA nationally is actually paying for those same drugs. So, it's somewhat deceptive in its advertisement because it will be lower, but will it actually match the cost that the VA is paying on a national level? Your thoughts?
Well, first off, John Adams. I would have to say that, at least on Greg's behalf, he did say may help a little bit. Now, by voting yes, and I will say by voting yes, it's better than nothing if it's going to help a little bit. Because right now, the drug companies are in charge. And they're in charge of this campaign for the simple fact that they're the only ones putting money in to make sure it's defeated. Number two, as Greg said, drug companies are charging people in foreign countries a fraction of what they're charging Ohioans for the exact same drug. Number three, when we're talking about transparency, I agree with you. We have a law that has been passed by the legislature, Representative Jim Butler's transparency law. Now, it is a law that has not been enacted, and you have all the actors in Columbus and throughout the state that don't want to see transparency. He has to go to court to challenge a law that's been passed by the legislature because the administration and the hospitals don't want to see transparency in a bill that was passed by the legislature, which in effect is the people. So here we have, when you're talking about suing, which is brought up a lot of quite a bit in issue two, that is why you could possibly see a lawsuit, is because the legislature won't do their job and enact a law that has been passed. So yeah, I can see that possibility. But having said that, your question was regarding you're talking federal versus the state. Well, that federal VA formulary is what is used in the state. So they have to come down to that price, which, like I said, is a fraction. Even when they're doing overseas charging for pharmaceuticals, it's still 2 to 2.5 times in those foreign countries what the VA formula is in the United States. So they're still making money overseas, and they're making a lot more money on Ohioans. So if you want cheaper drugs, you need to vote yes on issue two.
Well, the argument is, John, though, that we won't actually see the actual tables that the national VA is paying. Some of it is made public, yes, right now, but it's not the actual prices that the national VA is paying to the pharmaceuticals for the bargain rate of a larger pool. And so, you know, as I was talking to one salesman today, and he works for a company, and he says, well, look, we present to a larger buyer, you know, our best valued price, because they're buying in quantity and they buy in volume, and they're a top flight customer. And then there's another tier of customers that might get a good rate, a bargain rate, but then the other group gets an even better rate. So we won't really know what prices, and that's some of the arguments of even those for and against issue two, admittedly say that we haven't been able to see those pricing tables that the national VA is paying. Greg, your thoughts. Will that actually come about?
Yeah, no, that actually, and I'm not sure if I was trying to get to that point earlier, and I may not have. I think you actually explained it extraordinarily clearly there, Chris. That is actually one of the problems, and I was talking about there could have to even be litigation on that point, because it's not clear whether the VA would disclose that. I suspect they would not voluntarily disclose it, because some of these additional rebates that they have negotiated with manufacturers, the manufacturers aren't going to want them to disclose it, because they're going to say, I don't want competitors to know what I'm with the specific deal that I've made with you. And so then if the VA is in some way compelled through, I guess, litigation is probably the most likely scenario, there's a further potential risk, which would be that some of the guys who already have done the deals with the VA are going to be pretty displeased with that, and they may begin to not offer some of the same arrangements that they were previously doing for the VA. So you could, in a kind of a paradoxical way, you could end up with the VA having to actually pay more. And that might not happen just in Ohio, but I would suspect that if multiple states did that, you might see that start to be a bit of a problem too. I think that's one of the things that concerns, because there are, you know, some of the veterans groups that have come out against the issue too. I think that there's some concern and fear that will happen over time if this happens. So it is an issue. That's why there's some real challenges with just the logistics of this. I will say, though, there are, I think, for example, we mentioned Representative Butler before. I know he has some concepts he's working on. Hopefully he doesn't get mad at me for mentioning this, but I know he's trying to work on some legislation that would allow states to work collaboratively to try to go and do further negotiation with pharmaceutical companies for their state programs, and do bulk purchasing and bring not just your own market of the people that are on your programs in your state, but say Ohio and Michigan and Indiana and Kentucky all got together and then went with the total number there. And then they did a direct negotiation to bring additional market power. And in fact, because of the number of people that are on Medicaid alone, if you had those states doing it, they would actually probably have more market power than the VA, to the degree that there's more people. There's a lot of people on Medicaid. I mean, basically one out of every four Ohioans are on Medicaid, unfortunately. I mean, there's 700,000 people just on the expansion now, and that's just Ohio. I'm thinking, and John might know this number actually better than I do off the top of my head, but I think there's only, a million or two folks that are within the overarching VA. Then I could be way off, so I apologize if I am, but in the VA system. So if you could get multiple states to negotiate and use that bulk power to then negotiate the prices with the manufacturers, that's not so much of a price control, and that's still competition. And now you're not having to worry about the VA. Do they disclose? Do they not disclose? They're not. You don't worry about all those kind of logistical issues. Now, obviously, that's not what issue two is. That's not what's on the table right now. But I think that is the kind of forward thinking that will help move us into the direction of actually addressing the problems in a way that would be more workable. Now, don't make no mistake.
Okay.
Big Pharma will oppose that too, but we need to move in a good direction.
All right, I got a couple other points because we got to move quickly. Got some really important ground to cover here. Now, the argument has been also that if we say, if we force this by the pharmaceuticals to put really what would be a price cap on pharmaceuticals sold to the state of Ohio and its entities, that it would cause prices to increase for other Ohioans who are on their own independent plans, not part of any kind of government program, but their own individual insurance policies, even some seniors. John, what do you say to that, that it might cause increase in of drugs for other Ohioans if this is passed?
I don't believe the pharmaceutical companies want that PR nightmare. Because I don't think they do. And to backtrack just 1 second, if you have 50 states and they're all on the federal U.S. Department Veterans Affairs formula, that's the largest pool out there. That should be the lowest. And that's why this language is written that you would have to pay no more than the VA formula. That's the largest pool out there. That's going to affect the entire negotiating power across the board. That's competition. It should bring prices down if we're talking about competition and free market principles. But I know that's a thicker topic when you're talking about free market, because that's not necessarily clean, as Greg was saying.
Okay. One other aspect of this, too, is that on the federal level, there is movement, and that's the FDA. And the president is moving by executive order and through his agencies and administration to change things at the FDA for the approval process of drugs. Many say that this will actually bring drug costs down for the pharmaceutical companies and also allow for generics to enter the market, which I think both you gentlemen have said that is the competition that you're both encouraging that will bring drug prices down overall for everybody. Is that correct, John? Greg?
Well, that may be true, but I don't want to get off on the tangent of this yes or no vote. If we want to bring prices down in Ohio, we can do that by voting yes on issue two. They won't change by voting no.
Okay, well, I have to say, and I can't believe we've run out of time already. And so, gentlemen, I'd have to say that the Ohio Christian Alliance is leaning on a no vote on issue two. Folks, if you've missed any part of today's program, you want to go to our website at ohioca.org, and you can hear this segment in its entirety. And again, I want to thank former State Representative John Adams for joining us. He's a yes on issue two. And, of course, Greg Lawson of the Buckeye Institute is urging a no vote on issue two. And for more information, go to our website at ohioca.org. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. God bless.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus us fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
You tried to move on. You tried to put your life back together. Until one day, you see him at the store, on the street, on your doorstep. The criminal who tore your life apart is walking free. But you might never know until you come face to face with him. Don't let this happen to more victims. Vote yes on Issue 1, Marcy's Law.
Issue 1, Marcy's Law, will guarantee constitutional rights for crime victims in Ohio. Marcy's Law will give crime victims equal standing in the criminal justice system, ensuring they are told how the process works, notifying them of court hearings, plea agreements, or the escape or release of the offender. We can't undo a crime once it's happened, but we can ensure crime victims are treated with dignity and respect by the criminal justice system. Vote yes on Issue 1, Marcy's Law. Paid for by Marcy's Law of Ohio.
Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And hello and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. With me on the phone is Aaron Marshall, and he is with the Issue 1 Marcy's Law campaign that will be on your fall ballot. That's Issue 1, and the Ohio Christian Alliance is urging a yes vote on Issue 1, which is legislation or a constitutional amendment that actually gives rights to victims of crime. So often we hear about the rights of the criminals. This is an issue that would give rights to the victims of crime. Good afternoon. We're glad that you've joined us for News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. If you missed any of today's program, you can always catch the full broadcast on our podcast, and that is on our website at ohioca.org. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Chris.
Well, things are heating up as we get closer to the November election. And, of course, people are looking at the ballot issues, and the first up on the ballot is, of course, what's called Marcy's Law, and that is legislation to, or constitutional amendment, rather, to protect victims' rights. Explain to us what Marcy's Law is.
Sure, Chris. Thanks for having me on. You know, it's really important that people get out there and vote. Marcy's Law would clarify once and for all that crime victims have equal rights to those of the defendants. You know, we think crime victims should have, deserve to have the right to notification of every step in the process, the right to participate by making statements in court, input into plea bargains, deserve to have prompt conclusion of their cases, information about services. And we also think that crime victims should have the right to a mechanism to enforce their rights. In other words, crime victims should be able to go into court and say to a judge, hey, I'm not being notified about developments in this case. Hey, I want to be heard before this person is sentenced. And then they can go into a court and basically file a motion if they feel like their rights are being abridged. And then the judge would have to, you know, rule on that motion. That's a part, that would be a new piece in Ohio law and something that's pretty important change that Marston's Law
Well, that's right. In looking at the 7 points of Marcy's Law, which is victims' rights, is the right to be treated with courtesy, fairness, and respect for the dignity and privacy throughout the criminal justice proceedings. Number two, the right to receive information about their rights and services available to crime victims. The right to receive timely notification of proceedings and other major developments in their case. The right to receive timely notifications of changes to the offender's custodial status, the right to be present at court proceedings and provide input to a prosecutor before the plea deal is finalized. Number six,
the right to be heard at plea or sentencing proceedings or any process that may result in the offender's release. And number seven, the right to restitution. These are the rights that are enumerated under the Victims' Rights Amendment, Issue 1, Marcy's Law, which will be on your fall ballot. We do urge you to vote yes on Issue 1. In fact, you know, Aaron, I talked to a number of people as we were considering Marcy's Law for Ohio, the constitutional amendment. Of course, signatures were circulated, petitions were circulated to get it on the ballot. So many people did sign the petition and began to consider the amendment, exactly what it was. And I began to reach out to legal experts. Actually, one judge that I reached out to, he was a former state senator, and I asked him, I said, well, what's your thoughts about the proposed amendment, Issue 1? He said, well, I'm for it. He said, for instance, I want to be notified as a judge when certain offenders are getting released from jail. He said there are two individuals that come to mind for him personally that were arsonists, and it was a very heinous crime, and he wants to know when they're released. So here you have somebody who's actually tied very close to the justice system. He's a judge, and I won't identify him by county, but again, this was someone who said, and he understands the Constitution. I've worked with him on constitutional issues throughout the years at the Ohio State House when he was serving there, now as a judge, and he said, this is good legislation. This is needed. Some also have said, this isn't really anything beyond the bounds of what courts are to providing victims already, but in many cases are not. So, you know, the courts aren't doing their due diligence. It's kind of a shooting match. It's just hit and miss
right
around the state. You may be notified, you may not. They say, well, we sent out the notice, but they really didn't send out a proper notice to the victims for whether the perpetrator was going to get an early release, for instance. So you've got instances where people actually go to the grocery store, and next thing you know, they're startled by the person who actually went to jail for a crime, and there they are standing face-to-face with them, and it's very unsettling because they were not notified by the court of an early release. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, what we're seeing basically is that the rights that you have as a crime victim really vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, that there are some places that do the notification. They do have, make sure that crime victims get a chance to speak before someone's sentenced and do a great job. There's prosecutor, you know, we have a prosecutor in Franklin County, Ron O'Brien, who does a great job with that stuff. But the reality is that there's other counties that aren't doing a very good job with that. If you think about, let's say you're in a small county in like Hocking County, Ohio. It's one of Ohio's smallest counties in southern Ohio. Well, the prosecutor in Hocking County, every case that he takes is going to be in front of one judge. He's got one judge that he has to deal with all the time. Now, is he going to go to the wall maybe for a crime victim and really, possibly anger this judge that he has to deal with in all these other cases? I mean, I think you can understand the human nature that comes into play sometimes, where prosecutors in smaller counties aren't necessarily pushing the envelope on crime victim rights. So, I mean, you know, I kind of look at it like a civil rights issue here. You know, this is a declaration of rights for crime victims that we think should be placed in the Ohio Constitution. You know, back during the civil rights era, we had to have federal troops come into certain places in the country to make sure that desegregation could happen safely, or that African Americans had their voting rights respected. You know, it's maybe not as dramatic as that, but we think that we need to have this law to hold up in every county courthouse around Ohio. Say, look, crime victims have these rights. They're in the Constitution now, and you need to respect them, or, you know, they can file a motion now, and they have a way to enforce their rights. So, you know, I kind of see this as a civil rights issue.
Well, that's a great point you bring up. You're talking about one of the rural counties, which may be on a shoestring budget, and, you know, is not doing the due diligence to notify of the various proceedings of the court. It doesn't cost a lot of money for the county to do this. It just basically takes the due diligence to do it. This law would assure that it is actually a constitutional law in the state of Ohio, and that all the county courts in all the 88 counties have to comply if issue one passes. Again, we're talking about Marcy's law. Tell us a little bit about Marcy herself, and I know her brother is heavily involved in this to get this law passed because of his own personal experience with his sister.
Yeah, well, Marcy was a young lady. Actually, the family was from the Cincinnati area originally, but they had moved out to California. And Marcy, this is in the early 80s, was in a relationship that went bad, and it was not a good situation. She was away from the ex-boyfriend. She had broken things off with him. Just tragically, he turned violent with her and actually murdered her. It was maybe a week or two after the murder had taken place. The family was coming back from visiting Marcy's grave. They're at the grocery store, and they run into the killer, who was out on bail at that time. He hadn't been convicted yet, but he was convicted later. They run into the killer at the grocery store, and there's, words were exchanged, and you can just imagine how traumatic that was. And Marcy's brother, Dr. Henry Nicholas, was there. He was there with his mom, Marcy's mom, there at the grocery store. And, it was just a traumatic experience for him, and he did not want anyone else's family to go through something similar. He started Marcy's Law in her name out in California, and the ball's been rolling here for the last decade or so. Marcy's Law is now in the books in California, Illinois, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Ohio would be state number six. So, and he's the one that's provided the money to get the signatures to get on the ballot here. Of course, we know that costs a lot of money in Ohio. It's a time consuming, exhaustive process. And he's the one that paid for that. And so we're very happy to have his support and have him and his family back in the Buckeye State supporting victims' rights.
Well, it's interesting that Marcy's Law has an Ohio tie. It starts in California, but it's in a family that's originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. So that's very interesting, and one in which I think this issue is really resonating with a lot of people because they've been through this process, some level of frustration or another with the local court, depending upon they were the victim of a crime, whether that was a robbery, whether it was an assault, whether it was a stalking situation. And there's a lot of people in those kinds of situations that I'm sure that this has caught their attention. Again, we're talking about ballot issue one on your fall ballot, and that will be on November 7th. We encourage you to get out and vote on November 7th and to vote yes on issue one. The Ohio Christian Alliance is advocating a yes vote on issue one, which is Marcy's Law, rights to victims of crime. Even here in the Akron area, we've had this kind of discussion in the past where there's been restitution for victims' rights over the years. In fact, one of the Denton Center has been one in which they have worked with people who have been victims of crime over the years and helping them with restitution issues. Explain us to this point number seven, the right of restitution.
Well, basically, you would have a right to, financial redress when the crime that was committed has had a financial impact on you. So that's, anything from property damage, on up. It's something that there is a limited right to restitution that's currently in statute. This would expand it to cover misdemeanor crimes as well. And we just feel like, hey, if you're convicted and you financially injured another person, they should have a right to seek that from you. So it just kind of expands the restitution that's already available.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue.
We're talking with Aaron Marshall, who is a spokesman for Marcy's Law, Issue 1, which is Victims' Rights Ballot Initiative on your fall ballot. The website where you can learn more is marcyslaw.us. There's also an Ohio link there as well. Is that correct, Aaron?
That's right. And we also have Vote Yes on stateissue1.com. We'll get you to us as well. And, you know, I know... You know, I'm on here with the Ohio Christian Alliance, and I guess I just feel like I'd be selling it short to not mention, you know, that there's really a spiritual kind of question here, too, in some ways. I mean, I'm sure the folks in your audience are way more well-versed in some of the things that the Old Testament says, but, you know, learn to live right, see that justice is done, and help those in need comes from the book of Isaiah, you know, Psalm 103. For all who are mistreated, the Lord brings justice. So, I mean, I think that there's kind of a calling here that goes beyond a civic calling to a moral plane with this issue and helping people that are in need and have been injured to, you know, to help bind up their wounds.
Well, that's right. I would agree with that. And that, you know, I think that's how most people view this. And they've known people that have gone through terrible situations as victims of crime, and how at times it's as if the courts are indifferent to them as the victims of the crime. But again, as you said, currently it varies from county to county and from court system to court system as to how diligent and proficient they are in following some of the existing laws that are already in the state. But this actually makes it more unified, I think, and mm-hmm. It also enumerates those rights, again, as we've gone over them, seven of them. And by the way, later today, we'll have up on the Ohio Christian Alliance website our ballot issues educational insert for your church, which you can download. We'll also have printed copies available as well for your church, and you can log on and make requests for that on our website, also by phoning 330-887-1922, and it is fully permissible for your church to distribute this educational piece and advocate for an issue. And so over the years, we've done that, whether it was the marriage issue or other issues on the state ballot. And of course, this year, it's Marcy's Law, Victims' Rights of Crime, a constitutional amendment. So we encourage you to get involved, get educated, and also help us to distribute the Ohio Christian Alliance ballot issues bulletin insert to your church and congregation. But again, you know, going to the website, getting educated on this issue, people will start seeing or hearing radio ads, of course, and seeing TV ads, as I'm assuming, as well for Marcy's Law. Is that right?
Absolutely. We have a couple of TV ads that are running and some radio spots, and we're just trying to get our message out there about how important it is to vote and vote yes and vote for equal rights for crime victims. But yeah, we have a full media campaign. You know, I would also mention, you know, we have a lot of support from all walks of life. It's not just the Ohio Christian Alliance that's supporting us. We have 13 county prosecutors, more than 20 county sheriffs, the Ohio FOP, the Buckeye Sheriff's Association, Mike DeWine, Attorney General Mike DeWine, a number of lawmakers, Democrats and Republicans. The Democratic mayor of Dayton is a supporter of ours, for example. So we really are seeing people across the political spectrum and from all corners of Ohio support our campaign. It's just so important to get people out there and vote.
Well, that's right. It has broad bipartisan support, I'm sure, because there are so many people that have been frustrated with the court system at times not receiving proper notification, again, of parole hearings. When a perpetrator might be up for parole, people want to know that, you know, because they want to weigh in and they want to be notified of an early release. And I think it's all about just knowing. It's when you don't know and you get surprised, like Marcy's family did that day, and they weren't aware that the man was released on bail who was eventually convicted of her murder. And there's these other, you know, there's these instances that happen that are shocking to people if there's an early release of someone. So a woman who's been stalked by a man might be surprised to actually see him in the grocery store and not realize, you know, that he was being had a hearing for early release and was granted that by the court. So, and this is totally out of the hands of the victim, unless they're receiving knowledge is power. And in this sense, being notified by the court is the new due process that will be uniform across the state of Ohio with ballot issue one, Marcy's Law. Aaron, your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't know a lot about crime victim laws in Ohio before I took on this job, but I have learned over the past year, and I have talked to crime victims from around the state of Ohio, and I have heard some horror stories. You know, a woman in Mahoning County who was a victim of a horrible rape case that took nearly 6 years to come to trial because the defense just kept getting continuance after continuance after continuance. A case in the Akron area, a woman named Rhonda Blankenship, whose family was murdered. You know, the defense attorneys in that case went on a terrible fishing expedition for wanted all kinds of personal information from her, her journals, her social media passwords, her medical records, on and on, because they felt like, you know, it had some bearing on the defense in the case, which it really didn't. But my point here is just that invasions of privacy, cases that drag on forever, cases where folks are not notified and have that moment in the grocery store or while getting gas where they run into their attackers, you know, it's a patchwork system right now. We're trying to bring uniformity to it. We're trying to make sure that if you're a crime victim in Akron, your rights are the same as if you're a crime victim in Ashtabula. You know, we don't feel that where you are in the state of Ohio should determine the types of rights that you have when it comes to crime victims' rights. But the reality is that's where we are today. So, yeah, we're just really trying to get our message out and, you know, let people understand that what this would really do is allow folks to file a motion in court or appeal a judge's decision if they feel like their rights are not being respected. That's a huge, huge leap forward that's made in this law. And it really gives some teeth to this. You know, if we're going to have these rights, we have to have a way to enforce them. Otherwise, they don't mean anything. So that's kind of our message here with Marcy's Law.
Well, that's right. And the amendment reads, the proposed amendment would expand the rights of victims under the current section and require that rights of victims be protected as vigorously as the rights of the accused. More specifically, for the purpose of ensuing due process, respect, fairness, and justice for crime victims, for their families, and the criminal and juvenile justice systems, the amendment would provide victims with, and then, of course, we talked about the seven rights. Number one is the right to be treated with courtesy, fairness, respect for the dignity, and privacy throughout the criminal justice proceedings. And so it has in mind that there has been a victim of this crime, that they're not nameless, faceless, and forgotten as the court proceedings go forward. So, Aaron, I think this is one in which Ohioans, I was just talking with someone today about, we have the constitutional ballot process here in Ohio, and Ohioans really take that seriously, where they, they vet the issues, and that's what we've been doing today, talking about issue one. Give us some final thoughts, and again, the website, so people can log on to learn more and to share that information.
Sure. The website is voteyesonissueone.com. And, I think, when we talk about amending the Constitution, that's a pretty serious step to take. I know that there's probably some people out there who just aren't really in favor of changing the Constitution that often. You know, we have some things in there that, frankly, probably shouldn't be in there. You know, there's casino locations, which are in the Ohio Constitution now. There's certainly a vigorous debate over state issue two and whether drug pricing laws should be in the state constitution or not. So there's, you can debate, I guess, whether you include some things or not in the Ohio Constitution. We feel like there's no debate about this because this is about individual rights. This is a, what more appropriate place is there to put a Declaration of Rights than in the Ohio Constitution? That's what we're trying to do with this law. We're trying to say once and for all in the Ohio Constitution, crime victims have equal rights to those of defendants, and they have the right to enforce their rights in a court of law and go before a judge and file a motion to say, hey, my rights are not being protected. I'm not being respected right now. So that's what we're trying to do with Marcy's Law, and we really appreciate support, Chris, and just hope everyone gets out there and votes for us.
Absolutely. Aaron Marshall with the Issue 1 Marcy's Law campaign, and of course we're urging a yes vote on Issue 1. To learn more, go to our website at ohioca.org. Also, if you'd like bulletin inserts for your church, educational bulletin inserts for the upcoming election, we have those at the Ohio Christian Alliance, and all you have to do is ask. They're free of charge, and we'll send them out to your church. Well, thanks for listening today, and again, tell a friend, and also, if you've missed any of today's program, you can listen to it in its entirety at our website at ohioca.org. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.